ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
And good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Jared's in studio, and I am down inside the Cletus B. Street Fieldhouse on the campus of Balthus, Oklahoma, getting ready for a 10 o'clock start today in the 49th annual Cluster Harrington Shortgrass Classic Invitational. It'll be the Elk City Elks and the Elkettes, and the Lawton Mack Lady Highlanders. That's a 10 a.m. tip. So, Jared, I'll have to bug out just a little bit early to get the pregame started ahead of the Elkettes here this morning. Could be a long day, could be just a normal day, a tournament play for Elk City. We'll tell you all about that coming up here throughout the show. I'll be honest with you, I've been setting up. I haven't really got a sheet made out as far as any sort of plan for the show. I know we'll talk about what happened around the area high school basketball-wise yesterday and all the various tournaments that the Paragon schools were competing in. NFL playoffs are a big topic moving forward here with the divisional round this weekend. And then, you know, whatever else is on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about anything that's on your mind. Feel free at 225-9698. If you're outside the listening area, like I am, you can download the Paragon Communications app to follow us via the live stream. The Paragon app has all the radio stations at Elk City with KECO, KADS, Cool 94. You've got the Penny News in the app. You can check out this week's edition of the Penny News online, thepennynews.com. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, and all kinds of basketball coming up on those two today. And then, let's see, what else? Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you missed the show entirely, go back and catch us there. iTunes or also on KADSAM.com. Jared, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Well, I'm a little bummed. A little bummed.
Why is that?
Well, I was just thinking about this yesterday, and then it happened overnight. I was thinking, you know,
you're thinking Meatloaf was going to die?
I was thinking celebrity deaths come in threes, right? And
yeah.
It was Betty White, Bob Saget, and then I wake up to find out our beloved Meatloaf has passed away. I'm a little heartbroken right now. I was just listening to this song the other day, jamming out to it. Man. But you know who? You know what I remember him for the most of? The most of? Was
what?
Him in Fight Club.
I've never seen Fight Club.
Oh,
I can't help you there.
No.
You know what I remember most? I mean, because, like, I was listening to the guys before us in the Morning Animals, and they were talking about, you know, they're a little older than us, but not way older, you know what I mean?
Curtis,
yeah. Anyway. And he was talking about how in 1993, he was in college when that song came back out, was, Bat Out of Hell 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And how he didn't even know who that was. Like, he thought it was a brand new guy. Turns out Meatloaf had a career back in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
I was clearly the same way, and I don't know how you guys rolled over in Clinton, but in 1993, let's see, I would have been 13, so what, a seventh grader in there, and I got to tell you, we would have these things called fifth quarter dances, after football games.
Yeah.
You guys kind of roll that way too?
Yeah, we had those. Yeah.
So, and I promise you, from my seventh grade year through the middle of my eighth grade year or so, you knew the last song of the night, and it was going to be that one. That was when you had to go, you know, get up the courage, quit hanging out with the boys, and find that girl to dance with on the last song of the night. It was always going to be Meatloaf. It was always going to be that song. Here's my question about that song, Jared.
Yeah.
What is the thing he won't do for love?
You know, that's a good question. My kid asked me that because I was introducing her to that song, and And I was like, man, listen to this song. It's about, what? That song's like 10 minutes long. I mean, it's such a long song.
You know, that was in the heyday of, like, MTV having videos, right? Listen, kids, MTV wasn't always Road Rules, right? It was used to be music videos.
Yes.
And so you'd get to watch music videos. You know, everybody surely has seen, like, Thriller.
Of course.
You know,
yes.
I mean, that was like a production. But that video was one of those big, long productions. You know, it was just like iconic.
It was like an opera type feel to it.
Well, it's kind of out of Phantom of the Opera. It was really kind of the idea behind it. And so, you know, it was one of those, you're right, it was like an 8-minute production every time it came on MTV. And at that time, when it was coming on there pretty often.
Yes. And when it came on, you couldn't stop watching it.
That's right. You had to just stop.
You stopped and you just took it in. It was an awesome production. It had that rock opera feel that whole song does. But man, that's a great artist is going to be missed. And it was just so crazy because I was just thinking yesterday, you know, it comes in threes. Celebrity deaths come in threes. And I was just thinking, man, celebrities better be on. They're probably on edge right now because there's only been really two notable ones, you know. Betty White on New Year's Eve, then the shocking passing of Bob Saget. Who was going to be next? And then I wake up to see that alert on my phone. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. It was, yeah. And then and of all of them, I was just listening to that song. I introduced that song to my oldest kid a couple weeks ago. It's like, you got to listen to this song. And I'm playing it for her. And she asked me that. She goes, well, what won't he do? I don't know. I'm not going to speculate.
Yeah, not with you anyway.
But
maybe that'll be a conversation for me and your mother. But you're going to have to step back a little bit.
I might be listening to some Meatloaf on my way over to the West Central today. And you got some, you've already traveled today. You're down there in Altus. Give us a recap what happened yesterday with the Big Elks and the Elkettes.
Yeah, we are now. It's 10 a.m. start this morning against Lawton Mack, and it's pretty simple for both teams. If you win, you can go home and come back tomorrow, and you'll be in the finals at 4 o'clock and 5:30. But if either team loses, then they're going to have to turn around and play another game here this afternoon or into this evening, depending on which team loses. But, yeah, yesterday the Elkettes played in the afternoon. They beat Star Spencer 50-24. Probably not the greatest execution, nowhere near what we saw in Cash on Tuesday night as far as the quality of the play for the Elkettes, but it was plenty good enough to go ahead and get a win over the Lady Bobcats, 50-24. Wiley Yarbrough continues to play some really good offensive basketball. She had 18 points, the only Elkette at double figures. Haley Bowie, who had kind of struggled since coming out of the Christmas break, shooting the basketball a little bit. She hit a couple of threes in the second half, one in each quarter, that really propelled the Elkettes out away from Star Spencer and easily were able to get that win. Now, like I said, it'll get a bunch harder today with Lawton Mack, top 10 team in 5A. The Elkettes are going to have to execute much, much, much better if they want to get a win over the Lady Highlanders. Similar for the Big Elks. They ended up playing a game way closer than what I thought it was going to be, at least, against Altus. The Altus Bulldogs, man, they will fight you. That's one thing. You know, the record now, 2-10. But they play hard, and the Elks, for a part of that game, just didn't meet the physical challenge of, you know, keeping Altus off the offensive glass. There was times in that game last night where it really felt like we were about to see, you know, the Elks kind of put some space in between themselves and the Bulldogs and pull away. And every time it felt like that, Altus would come back, get a bucket, maybe even cause a turnover, get another one. And instead of a 12-15-point game, it was down to 5, and then that thing got even tighter at the end. So it was a battle between the Elks and the Bulldogs last night. But Elk City had just enough plays. Cooper Church in the fourth quarter, a couple of drives to the bucket, getting some easy ones, and then he made two huge free throws. It was 36-34 inside of 2 minutes, I think, and he stepped up, got fouled, made both to make it a 4-point game, and from there, the Elks had control for the last minute or so. But 42-39, Altus banked in a three right at the buzzer to make it the final score of a 3-point win. So the Elks advanced 2:30 today against Star Spencer, another team that's ranked in Class 3A. So both teams won. both teams probably have a bunch of things to clean up if they want to get wins here at the first game of the day today on this Friday.
Well, that's nice, right? You can win, but you can still see room for improvement. I mean, it's nice to play a flawed game and still get the W. I'm sure coaches probably harp on that in the locker room after the game. Hey, that was nice. Soak it up, but we got to fix some things to move forward. The glass half full for me is that those are fixable things, and they can even become even a better team moving forward as we get to the latter parts of January. So I think both coaches have to be encouraged by that.
Yeah, and they both mentioned that in the post-game interview with me was you know, sitting down, kind of, you know, taking the load off, like, oh, well, it was a win, you know.
Yeah.
And it's very true. It's, you know, I think kids are more receptive to those teaching moments when you're winning, as opposed to just kind of keep on racking up losses, especially on the outside, because they have been in so many of those games against good teams, against maybe not as good teams, whatever it is, down the stretch where they haven't been able to close the deal. Yesterday they were. And so, you know, that's a good sign. And like we talked about yesterday, and both coaches mentioned it as well, without even really being prompted, we're down here to the part of the season where, you know, a couple of wins here, you know, this week, if both can go, say, 2-1, 3-1, then you got Sayre, then you got Blanchard next week, which will be tough tasks. But, you know, when you look at the teams, if you can get stacks of wins up and say the girls are 10-7 and the boys are, you know, what's 8-9 or whatever it would be, you know, that looks so much better on the resume for those playoff pairings than if you look up and it's like 4-12 and you know, like 6 and whatever it would be. So, you know, that's something that it's really kind of top of mind for those guys as well, knowing what's coming with the pairings. And in the playoffs, the rankings being locked in a week from Monday. So, you know, we've still got 4 or 5 games here where wins and losses can make a huge difference on what you're going to see in your path in the playoff pairings, starting in the district round even. Because as I mentioned yesterday, it's not been any fun to be wearing the brown and white in district the last couple of years, knowing you got to go to Kingfisher to play a district title game against a team that literally had the best winning percentage in 4 years in the history of Oklahoma high school basketball.
Yeah. Now, bring us up to speed, the possibilities of today. Now, you've already told us playing at 10 and 2:30. You know, what happens if?
Okay, so if both teams win, go home and come back tomorrow at 4 o'clock for the finals of the girls, and the boys would follow. If the Elkettes lose to Lawton Mack here at 10, they will drop down into tonight's consolation bracket game at 7 o'clock against the host Houseless Lady Bulldogs. So at 10 o'clock tip for this one, a loss would put them down at 7 o'clock against Houseless. On the boys' side, 2:30 tip against Star Spencer. Win, you play tomorrow. Lose, you got to play the Houseless JV at 5:30. So it could, if things go exactly wrong for the Elks and the Elkettes, you're talking about 10 o'clock for the girls, 2:30 for the boys, 5:30 for the boys, then 7 o'clock for the girls. And then that would, if you're not able to win tonight's games, you're done. You're not coming back tomorrow. If you do win, then you'll play the third-place games at 1 o'clock and 2:30 for the girls first, the boys second. So a lot of different possibilities here this morning for the Elkettes, and then a little bit later on for the Big Elks on what could happen and how many games you're going to end up playing. Not only today, but then for the weekend. I mean, it's possible that both teams play one game today and they're in the finals tomorrow. They can play two. If they split, they'll play tomorrow. And if they lose both today, then we won't see the teams again until Tuesday night at home against Sayre.
Does this worry coaches as far as possibility of playing two games in one day?
You know, they both kind of said, we've never really done that. You know,
it's like a
totally different experience, and so heck, I don't know. You know, you think about the AAU circuit; they play all kinds of games in days.
Right,
now,
right.
I don't know how many of these guys or girls, you know, experience that as younger. I'm sure they do, but as far as the, you know, in the varsity high school ranks, it's kind of a weird situation. I personally can't think of any time when I've been a part of it doing what we do. You know, it's always just kind of been one game and move on.
Right.
You know, depending on it and. No, I think that's but at the same time, I think it kind of gives you ideas of turnarounds, you know, moving forward in the playoffs. What if you're playing the Thursday night game of regionals? If you can't win, you turn around and play at 1:30. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So maybe it's the same day, but it's still that quick turnaround, having to get prepared mentally and physically off a loss for what's coming next. And in this situation, now the season isn't over, but the tournament is, if you don't bounce back and win the game. So maybe that's a good test case for what's coming in February.
Yeah. All right. Well, that one, your first one's coming up at 10 o'clock, and that's actually our first game today. You want me to run down our schedule?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, do that. Because here's the deal. I got bumped off, so you're probably going to have to man the show as far as back there.
All right, we'll do the schedule, and we'll take a break.
I've gotten bumped off of there.
Okay, Elk City versus Lawton Mack, like you said, at 10 a.m. I'm going to go in chronological order. This is at the Short Grass Classic Invitational. The Bi-County over in Merritt, man, we got all but one game today pretty much covered on the Paragon Network. Starting at 11:20, Eric versus Blair Boys, Cheyenne versus Eric Girls at 12:40, Cheyenne versus Granite Boys at 2 o'clock. Back at the Short Grass, Elk City versus Star Spencer Boys at 2:30. Tri-County Tournament over in, also in Altus, at Western is Leedy versus the Navajo Girls at 4:20. Back at the Bi-County, Hammond Boys and Duke at 4:40. Leedy versus Hobart at the Tri-County. This is the boys game at 5:40. Leedy playing some good basketball, by the way. Could be a good one. Bi-County Tournament, Hammond versus Merritt Girls. Tune in for that one. 6 o'clock. And then at the West Central, the Canute Girls are at 7 o'clock. At the Bi-County, it's the Merritt versus Saline Boys at 7:20. And the last game tonight, the Canute Boys taking on Corn Bible Academy at 8:15 tonight. That is what we have in stone. 12 games, depending on what happens with Elk City, could be more. So that's a lot of games on the Paragon Network. And I put all these games on our socials. On our Skinny on Sports Facebook page, Paragon TV Facebook page, and beyond that too. So if you need some links to these games, it's all right there. But it all starts at ParagonTV.com. Click on your school, and you're going to be able to see it. Skinny on the road. He's in Altus. It is a long day of basketball, not just for him, but for everybody pretty much in Western Oklahoma. We got it covered for you, and we will recap that for you, the schedule at least, on the Paragon Network. Towards the end of the show, that's how I plan to fill 15 minutes. Aaron will be doing a pregame show as he has a game at 10 o'clock, bright and early. Eggs and basketball, you got to love it.
Man, it was like I was on autopilot.
What time did you get in last night?
It wasn't too bad, but I had to go, you know, this may be a little bit in the weeds with what else I do for, at the station or whatever, but. So I can't make those the music laws and everything you hear throughout the day on all the stations without knowing what time the games are, right?
Right.
And so, I wasn't able to put the log together until I knew. So I had to come back home. I got back to the station at like 9:20 maybe, 9:30, something like that. And then that process normally takes 30 minutes or so to get those things out so that, when it turns midnight, it's not dead radio and my phone doesn't start buzzing first thing in the morning. So it wasn't too bad. Everything was on ahead of schedule yesterday by the time, the very last game of the day, the last game of four was the Big Elks and Altus, and it started 15 minutes early. So kudos to the folks here at Altus for that, as well as the hospitality room. I'm sure Wilson's listening to figure out how nice it was. It was a good, nice spread, very nice spread in there. That's always the fear, right? When you come to these things and you're staring, eight games in the face for the day, with what we do, we're thinking, oh my gosh, when are we starting? You know what I mean? But for that, I was actually a little bit rushed each time because you never know how much time's on the clock. Are they doing an anthem and all that kind of stuff? But anyhow, it went really good. And it should be, hopefully, a fairly similar thing tonight. Actually, hopefully not. Hopefully, I'm back before you leave because that means Elk City won twice, and I can get everything done in a timely fashion before the sun goes down.
Well, if you know me,
both these are the finals.
If you know me, I like to leave fairly early because I'm always paranoid of problems. So I don't know about that, but Speaking of which, Hydro Weekly took on Arapahoe Butler last night at the West Central. Did you take any of that in?
Man, I turned it on when I sent you a text about the Merritt boys because I hadn't found a score.
Yeah.
To see if they won. And then I thought, oh, you know what? I think that game's still going. And I turned it on right at the end of the third quarter, and it was 49-26 or something like that. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hydro Weekly pounded Arapahoe Butler on the girls' side. The rest of those games look good. You know, Coach Hunt and I talked about Berks Fight Hill City yesterday, the boys, and how impressed we were with Coach Couch's team in that game against Elk City a couple of weeks ago. And they were right there on the cusp of knocking off Calumet, what, number six in Class A?
Yeah.
46-45. You know, so that's a really good effort there. So that means it's going to be, what, Burns Flat and Arapahoe for third. Arapahoe girls lost to Calumet. Those two teams played this week, and the results were different as Arapahoe won the first one and Calumet wins in the tournament. I guess they played last Friday, but anyhow. So the finals is what, Hydro Weekly, Calumet on both, boys and girls.
Yes, that is correct. And Arapahoe Butler, both teams fall to third place game. Girls taking on Thomas, boys taking on Burns Flat Dill City, which suddenly looks like a really intriguing game to me. Suddenly, it looks really, really good. So,
man, I can't agree more. I'm interested. You know, you're going to be in that same district. I'm interested to see how that bracket shakes on the boys' side.
Yeah,
with Burns Flat and Canute and Snyder. I mean, I would assume Snyder's playing Friday. But who's playing them, you know, and then,
right.
Man, the way Burns Flat Dill City's been playing, yeah, is that a possible, you know, maybe not a stumbling block I'm looking past Canute for Hydro Weekly in what would be a regional final. I think probably Navajo, maybe the game net first in regionals, but they're impressive. And I think you made a good point about them. You saw them early right out of football, and they weren't quite in that basketball shape. They hadn't been playing enough basketball yet. Now that they've got the practice through the Christmas break, now that they got some games under their belt here in January, the Burns Flat Dill City team seems to be rounding into a really dangerous team that hasn't been anywhere near a top 20 team all year long in the rankings.
Yeah, and you know, we know it more than anybody is, especially small school basketball, any basketball season, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And right now, Burns Flat appears to be one of the hotter teams. The Burns Flat boys, the hotter teams in Western Oklahoma. So I'm very intrigued by them and seeing how they do, not only Saturday, but also in that district that you mentioned.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not going to be the same because they're obviously not going to win the West Central. But what was it, 5 years ago when the head coach of the Trojanettes, Tatum Ridling, was at Sentinel. And you look up on a Saturday night and you go, wait a minute, Sentinel just won the West Central tournament? What happened?
Yeah.
And then they get knocked off in district at Cheyenne by a couple of points. And you're like, okay, well, that's kind of a weird result there in the West Central. And then I got to see them through their entire regional run that year. Jeremy and I just happened to be there at Burns Flat for every one of those games. And then all of a sudden it was like, wait a minute, this team is really good. And then you look up and they make it to the state tournament after losing in district. I mean, I'm not saying that Burns Flat is that, but it's a little bit reminiscent, especially if they could have won last night, of that run that Sentinel made a few years ago and on the girls' side.
Yes. Yes. So,
okay, hey, yeah. Listen, we buried the lead of the day. I can't believe we did this, or I did this. You may not even know, but do you know what today is?
No. What is today? Is it a history lesson here?
It's not I'm not going to say how many year history lesson because I don't know if our fearless owner wants his age split out, out there. But today is the birthday of one Blake Brewer. So we've got to wish Blake Brewer a happy birthday, don't we?
Of course. And you don't want to say his name or his age.
I'm not 100% sure what it is. I feel pretty comfortable there's a 5 to start it, but I'm not sure what that second number is. And the reason I feel
you're
comfortable
brave even to go that
five,
far.
Well, listen, I was at his surprise. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
I was at his surprise 50th birthday party those few years ago, so I know that he's at least 50. But no, happy birthday to Blake Brewer, our fearless owner. And by the way,
clearly owning a radio station is the key to looking young because he doesn't look 50. He doesn't look over. Come on, man. I'm trying here. Little, come on.
A little suck it up going on here, I'm afraid, from Jared.
Come on, man. You're on the road. You can get away with this. I'm right here. His office is literally next to the studio.
Oh, goodness. We're starting to get some guesses on the text line. By the way,
see that.
You know how I know me and Billy are good buddies?
How's that?
Because he knows all the good eating spots, too. I literally was kicking myself for not getting up like 15 minutes earlier and hitting it at the pickup taco here in Alpha.
Yeah.
For a burrito. I was kicking myself when I walked in, when I pulled into town thinking, golly, all I had to do was not hit the snooze button one less time. And I could have gone to pick up taco and got me a breakfast burrito, breakfast taco, and I didn't do it. Now, that doesn't mean I won't get that spot for lunch, but that's the first thing Billy says this morning is, hey, good day for pick up taco. And he's exactly right.
And then the next text is from our man Drew, wanting to know why you haven't seen Fight Club. Blown my mind.
All right, so I mean that is a huge, that has a huge cult following, right? I mean,
yes, it's just because it's a good movie, because it's one of those rewatchable movies over and over. It's quotable. It's shocking. You liked the movie Seven?
Oh yeah,
Seven, The Social Network. David Fincher, the guy who created those movies, he is the man behind Fight Club. So it's in the same vein of that.
Okay.
So it's a pretty good commentary on social activities and stuff. I mean, you'd have to see it to understand it. But it's really good. As Brad Pitt, it has the guy who was the Hulk at one point. I forget his name, but it does have Meatloaf in it. And you wouldn't.
Yeah, we're getting All-Star.
I remember,
I've heard of it, obviously, but was this some big-time, like, critically acclaimed thing, or is it more of like, what was the movie we talked about the other day? Swingers. Man, Swingers ain't that great a movie at the end of the day, but it's got a bunch of, like, cool stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
With Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau, it's become more of a cult hero type of movie as opposed to what I would consider a really that good a movie. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Edward Norton is the guy I was talking about. And
now,
also, Jared Leto's in it.
I like me some Ed Norton.
He's the lead along with Brad Pitt. You know, like I said, Meatloaf, Jared Leto. Helena Bonham Carter, you don't know her name, but
yeah,
you know what she,
I do.
You know, she's married to Tim Burton, I think.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really good movie. Just surprised you haven't seen it. You're going to have to sit down and watch this one. Don't watch it with Wyatt. Do not watch it with Wyatt.
Well, I mean, we're probably going to get in trouble for discussing it, because this is the deal. Whatever happens in Fight Club stays in Fight Club.
Oh, yeah, that's the first rule. You know what the second rule is?
What?
Don't talk about Fight Club. Like the first rule is, don't talk about Fight Club. And the second rule is, don't talk about Fight Club. So we broke a couple of rules here.
Well, listen, I've never seen it, so I didn't break any rules. That's on you, bro. I'm not getting in trouble for that one.
Well, I didn't give away the plot or anything, but it has a twist. I'll just tell you that. And it's good. It was 79% rated 79% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes as of right now. So not bad.
Okay.
Not bad.
That's interesting. I'm getting told probably don't even watch it with Kara.
No, she's probably seen it. I'm going to bet you a burrito she's seen it. And she's going to ask you the same. She's going to ask you the same question.
I will take that bet, because this doesn't sound like it's anywhere close to her wheelhouse.
Okay.
Suspense. Fighting, she's out.
I feel like when I get home from basketball games tonight, I want to watch Fight Club. I'm gonna have to do that now. I'm gonna have to find out what it's streaming on. I'm gonna do that for you too. So,
okay, so now we're gonna have to figure out, since we all know the movie everybody's aghast that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
What's the one you haven't seen? Now you're more of a movie buff than me.
Yeah, and there are movies I have never seen, more than what you'd think. And, I mean, throw a couple of those big movies out there you think I haven't seen or have seen. that everybody's seen.
I don't have it in.
You know, one that popped up on social media, and I thought to myself, I've never seen that movie, Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
Okay, all right. Well, this seems like that was a movie that everybody's seen, and I've never seen that.
What was the one in Seinfeld? The English Patient. Remember that episode?
Oh, yeah, no.
I never saw that
one. That one I don't think I wouldn't want to see now. That doesn't look very... Nah, not for me. There was another one. Right. Hey. I don't know what it was, but you got to go?
No, not yet. But we got to talk some NFL football before I do go.
Yeah, because we can go on about movies.
Yeah, it is Friday, and I haven't prepared at all for this show, if you can't tell.
Oh, really? That's fine. That usually makes for the best shows.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, if we just mix in a little, just a small dose of Little Debbie talk, we'll be the highest rated show we've ever had. Which game are you looking most forward to?
Oh, man, it's a debate between Kansas City and Buffalo and Tampa Bay and L.A. I will lean Kansas City, Buffalo. Buffalo looks so dang dominant, and now they're on the road in Arrowhead. So, you know, in Kansas City, they everybody expected them to do that to Pittsburgh. I mean, honestly, but now they got. I mean, I really think this thing you're going to see a ton of fireworks. I'm pretty sure Kansas City probably had to order double this time around. Because they're going to have, I think it's going to be a scoring fest, an absolute scoring fest between those two. And I really can't tell you who I think is going to win. I might give the edge to Kansas City because it is in Kansas City. But that's the one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm going to take the other one just because I feel like the Rams, and not necessarily what they did to Arizona. Arizona was just so underprepared. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But it's always felt like the Rams have the secret sauce to beat Brady because of Aaron Donald, because of being able to get pressure with four. You know, we've seen it when Brady's losses in the playoffs. It's always been people at his feet, people in his face. And so can the Rams do that with that awesome defensive line? I think they can. And is this going to be the end of what we see from Tom Brady? Could he go out, not in a blaze of glory, but kind of in a dud? You know, I don't know that anybody feels like he's not coming back next year, but what if he can? What if he doesn't?
Yeah.
So that's the one that I'm most excited about. Now, Drew makes a good point. Player, if there's just a player I'm most excited to watch, it's got to be Derrick Henry, right, to see what he's got?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what Derrick Henry looks like in the playoffs when he hasn't played a snap in 2 months.
Yeah, I know you're on the side of he hasn't played in 2 months, he's going to be 100% fresh. I'm on the side of he hasn't played in 2 months, he is going to have to get reacclimated. And you can't, I don't know if there's enough time, if that makes sense, in the playoffs if you're suddenly behind 14, 17 points to a hot Joe Burrow team.
Yeah, that's true too. And then, of course, the one team that has dominated Rodgers in his career, especially in the playoffs, has been the Niners. Hmm. San Francisco has bludgeoned Green Bay a couple of different times in playoff games, in conference final games a couple of years ago. They just run-ruled them. So I don't think anybody feels like that's going to happen again. But, you know, San Francisco's got that team that's proven they've been able to do it to him. So it's intriguing, and it's only going to get better from here. Obviously, for just personal rooting interest, we wish it was Dallas and Tampa, and then the Rams were in Green Bay, right? But that didn't happen. And, you know, sometimes when we see upsets like that, the matchups forward aren't as much fun. That's not the case this year, I think, in the NFC. You know, San Francisco, because to me, their history with Rodgers and their history of being able to get wins over Rodgers in playoff games and really kind of make him look bad, that's, if there's one team that was going to win and have to go up there, way better the Niners than, say, Philly.
Right. Yeah.
Who do you think has the most pressure on him quarterback-wise this week?
Well, now that all these quarterbacks are in the next round, that pressure cap is a little – it's not as it's down a little bit. So I'm going to rule out the veterans like Rodgers and Brady because they've been here so many times. I might – go with I might go with Tannehill. He's the quarterback of a number one seed team, right?
It's an interesting thought because it's exactly the opposite of me.
Okay.
I think those guys, the veterans and the ones, I think this, the pressure starts to ratchet up on them because it's legacy time.
Sure.
I think Aaron Rodgers has the most pressure on him by far because when you start looking at it, is this the last game he's ever going to play in a Packer uniform?
Mm. Yeah,
he's only been to and won one Super Bowl. I think this is a. I think the pressure will just mount on him because he's the unquestioned. You know, Green Bay seems like the unquestioned favorite in the NFC, and it's all on his shoulders. So to me, it's Rodgers. Like I get Tannehill, and from a certain perspective, but nobody even realizes Tennessee is the one seed. Everybody,
I know,
thinking about. You know, to me, everybody thinking about the AFC playoffs this week thinks the championship game is Sunday at 5:30 with Buffalo and Kansas City. So if you really think that, and I think most people do, that the winner of that can beat either team that wins on Saturday, then what's the pressure on Tannehill? He's not supposed to do anything anyhow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally.
Rodgers has tons of it. And then I would put Mahomes right there, Mahomes and Allen, kind of next because there are guys that Mahomes is trying to kind of be able to get to that baton grabbing moment from say a Rodgers or a Brady. He wasn't able to get it done last year in the Super Bowl against Brady. How much does that start to build on him? I mean, by now, you know, after that first Super Bowl, still, if you'd have told me after this season he'd still be stuck on one, I think people would be pretty not necessarily disappointed, but surprised for sure that he wasn't able to go ahead and get another one in the next 2 years with what he's got on that roster. So I think, you know, those two guys, Allen's there as well, and, of course, Stafford, you know, he got a little bit off of him with a win in the playoffs, but it's still always going to be there. And then, of course, Brady, you know, is just it. Eventually the pressure has to kick up because he's not going to do it anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though he's, I mean, to him, I mean, he's already the greatest quarterback. Now, like, for his next step is, okay, is he the greatest athlete ever, right? I mean, that's where his legacy is heading toward. It's off the football field. It's in all sports. So there's a little there, but to me, it's Rodgers and everybody else is pretty far behind there.
Right. Yeah. My biggest question of and it's the eternal question for me with Brady and even LeBron is when do they start showing their age? You know, when do they start to become old? And then if that happens, say it happens in this game against LA or. He doesn't look good, and they somehow squeak by, and he just gets blown out in the NFC champ. Does he say, that's it, I'm going to hang it up while I'm on top? Why, you know what I mean? Quit while he's ahead kind of mentality. Because he doesn't want that lasting thought of him being the guy that couldn't get the job done. That's why I kind of wondered, would he come back after winning a title last year? But,
yeah,
you know, so I that's my big question, is how does Brady respond to a win or a loss, depending how it looks?
You know, a lot of people may have even thought the second half of the NFC Championship, the game that they won, was that moment. Because he looked terrible.
Yeah.
You know, everybody remembers the first half. The second half, he was awful. And then he strolls into the Super Bowl and looks like Tom Brady again. So it's almost one of those things to me, until we actually see him stop, then I guess you just assume he's going to be pretty good.
Right.
Hey, I got to go.
You got to go.
I got to get the pregame started for the Elkettes. Cool 94, Big Elk TV, Elk City Lot and MacArthur, semifinal action from the 49th. Cluster, Harrington, Short Black Classic Invitational. 10 o'clock is the tip. I'll get the pregame started here momentarily over on Cool 94 and also BigElkTV.com. Thank you, Jared.
No problem. Have a good call. We'll talk later.
All right, see you.
Jared, Atha sitting in studio, and for the next 11 minutes filling in for Aaron, he's on the road down in Altus getting ready for his first of what he hopes is just two games today. The Elk City Elkettes taking on Lawton Mack at 10 a.m. Again, you are going to be able to see that game on BigElkTV.com, hear that game on our sister station, Cool 94, 94.3 FM. Invite you to tune on in for that. And, you know, while we're at that, let's just go over the schedule again for you. We got 12 games, officially 12 games on the Paragon Network. with the chance for a couple more. We hope not, because that means Elk City, both boys and girls, would have lost, and they're playing again today, which is completely unheard of, but it's a completely unheralded crazy time right now that we're dealing with, and we have teams that have pulled out of tournaments, teams that just couldn't play or just totally opted not to do it, and thus this is why we have a six-team tournament down in Altus, and it's a little crazy situation. But what we know of right now, the schedule on Paragon TV, and by the way, everything starts right there. I'm just going to advertise for the next 10 minutes. Go to ParagonTV.com. That's where you're going to find your school. If they are a part of the Paragon Network, click on the school, click on the stream, and you should be good to go. And we had pretty good coverage throughout the day yesterday, meaning our connections were good, our broadcasters were excellent, as always, and that's such an awesome, awesome honor to be able to broadcast these games so those who can't make it can see it. And let's face it, it was really cold yesterday. Some of us just don't like to get out in the cold. Same can be said today. It's currently still 18 out there. So, can't make it out. Got you covered. Now, okay, let's get to it. Like I said, Elk City versus Lawton Mack is coming up in about 9 minutes. You're going to hear that one on Cool 94. You're going to see it on BigElkTV.com. This is the girls' matchup at the Short Grass Classic in Altus. At the Bi-County over in Merritt, we got a lot of these games covered. Eric versus Blair Boys. That's at 11:20 a.m. That game, because we're shorthanded on the Eric broadcast, can be seen on the Merritt broadcast on Euler TV. In fact, they're broadcasting every single game at the Bi-County on Merritt or on Euler TV. So for all you Eric fans out there, we got you covered with that. Sticking at the Bi-County, Cheyenne versus Eric girls at 12:40. You can catch that one on Cheyenne Bear TV. Also at the Bi-County, Cheyenne versus Granite Boys at 2 o'clock. Back at the Short Grass, the Elk City Boys will take on Star Spencer. That promises to be a good one. That's, what, 2:30, BigElkTV.com. Also on Cool 94. At the Tri-County, that's also in Altus. The Short Grass is at Altus High School. The Tri-County is at Western Oklahoma College on the campus over there. Leedy Girls and Navajo Girls, both Leedy teams are actually playing some really good basketball as of late. Navajo is really good in their own right. Looks to be a fun matchup, Class A team versus a Class B team. That's at 4:20. In the Bi-County, the Hammond boys taking on Duke. That could be a fun one too, 4:40 p.m. this afternoon. Tri-County, the Leedy boys, like I said, taking on Hobart. Hobart's going to be a tough ask for the Leedy boys, but again, the Leedy boys and Coach Carpenter playing some good basketball. That's at 5:40. Back at the Bi-County, this might be the game of the day. Hammond versus Merritt girls. Merritt girls upended Duke last night or yesterday. Hammond just does what Hammond does. They won big, and now they'll go at it at 6 p.m. Tonight at the Bi-County. West Central basketball tournament over at Swazoo in Weatherford. Canute versus Corn Bible Academy. That's the girls' game at 7 p.m. This is in the consolation semifinal game. Back at the Bi-County, Ceiling boys taking on the Merritt boys. Ceiling boys playing some really good basketball, and nobody's talking about them. Why? Because they play in the shadow of the Ceiling girls. But they should be talked about. Ceiling boys, I think, with only two losses on the year. They're taking on Merritt. Merritt boys playing good as well in their home gym. 7:20 tonight. And the final game on the docket will be Canute boys taking on Corn Bible Academy at 8:15 at the West Central Basketball Tournament. We do have a couple games we know will be played tomorrow at the West Central Basketball Tournament. Third place games. Again, you can watch these on ParagonTV.com. Arapahoe Butler will be taking on the Thomas girls at 3:40. Also, Arapahoe boys taking on Burns Flat Dill City boys at 5 o'clock. Burns Flat Dill City playing some excellent basketball, and we all know about Arapahoe. Man, really impressed with Hydro Weekly last night. Someone texted me, and I couldn't agree more. They're playing at a different level. Hydro Weekly boys, that is. I had my doubts about them when they went to the Tournament of Champions. I think they came back with a 1-2 record, and that one they won by like a bucket. But that's a tough tournament, and that's saying something, I guess, even just to get a win. But right now, as far as teams out here in Western Oklahoma, Hydro Weekly seems to be the cream of the crop. You can throw Ceiling in there as well, Ceiling girls, boys maybe, but Ceiling girls. And then there feels like it's everybody else, as evident last night on how they just dismantled Arapahoe Butler. But, you know, Arapahoe Butler will bounce back. They got a tough one against Burns Flat Dill City on Saturday. And it's all about making that strong push here towards the end of the regular season, getting into the playoffs. Who's playing good? Who can get on a roll, and who could be tapering off? I think that still remains to be seen. I'm not ready to rule out Arapahoe teams, even though they lost yesterday. I'm not ready to, because I've had them very early in the year as a couple of the teams, I think, out here that could make the state tournament. I think that the way the playoff pairings, how they've been released, it's definitely helps them that they're going to be, you know, hosting a regional and everything. We'll see. I'm going to stay with that. I still think Arapahoe boys and girls have a good chance of making the state tournament. Obviously, the Hammond girls are in a very comfortable position, hosting districts, hosting regional, only going up to Woodward for area. They're taking what Lydia has taken, that path forever. And now, as them being perennial number two for pretty much the beginning of the season up till now, they're going to get rewarded. I think they got a great shot making state. Keep an eye. Now, who are the dark horses that can make state? And this is a great topic that we're going to have, me and Aaron are going to have as we get closer to playoff. But who could be a dark horse to make a run? I'm not rolling out Burns Flat Dill City boys. I'm not. They're playing some really salty basketball right now. Can they continue that? They got a favorable draw, hosting a district, not having to travel very far for regional in the Hydro Regional there. So, keep an eye on the Burns Flat Dill City boys and, you know, Merritt girls. I know they're in two-A, but Merritt girls, I'm really anxious to see what happens tonight between Hammond and Merritt. And, you know, if it's a close game, I think that means that both teams are really, really good. But I don't think it means that there's a bad team if one team blows out the other. It just sometimes that's just how the ball bounces. But the Merritt girls, I think, have a chance to make a deep, deep run with Coach Doherty. So there's your schedule right there, in my opinion. But there's your schedule. Again, go to our Facebook page, Skinny on Sports Facebook page, to see that that full schedule for today, and we'll add on to it. Also, go to, and I've shared all that on the rest of our socials too, Paragon TV Facebook page, where we throw out some scores on there throughout the day, and also on the KECO and Cool 94 Facebook pages. The games will all be on the Paragon TV network. Again, that's where you want to start. Radio games, I kind of missed that. I mentioned the Oak City games on Cool 94. The Merritt games, both Merritt girls and Merritt boys, 6 o'clock, 7:20, so back to back. They'll be right here on KADS, the Sports Animal, 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, with our man Jess Moore on the call on that one. And those two Merritt games look really, really good. Hammond versus Merritt girls, Sealing boys versus Merritt boys in the bi-county semifinal games. Well, that's not semifinal for the girls. I forget they're in the pool play. All right, that's going to wrap it up. I might duck out a little early so I can get my day going, because my day is going to be pretty quick here in studio, as I got to get ready to head on over to Weatherford and then also make sure all these games are flowing for you on ParagonTV.com. Don't forget Aaron. Big shout out to him. He's over there in Altus. Right now you can tune on over to BigElkTV.com and check out his game. Listen to him on Cool 94. And again, all those games are happening all day long. It's going to wrap it up for a week's worth of Skinny on Sports. We'll be back with you on Monday. We'll wrap up all the tournament action, because this will go into Saturday. I only know of a couple games that are happening on Saturday because of the West Central. We're going to have all of our teams still in action on Saturday. Just keep it locked onto our Facebook page. We'll definitely let you know when that's going to happen for you on the Paragon Network. And everybody have a wonderful weekend. Stay warm. Looks like it might be a little warmer tomorrow, and at least nicer today with some clear sky. Just not as, I mean, maybe a warm up. We'll see. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful day. And enjoy all that basketball out there. You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.